Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
We're going to begin this morning by going to Psalm 74. And we're going to talk about being covenant-minded. Now, you know, let me explain that phrase just a little bit. I know most people here are going to understand what I'm talking about, but you never know. You know, some people may not understand that the word, matter of fact, I know a lot of people don't understand this, not just some, but, you know, there might be some here this morning that don't understand that God's word's actually a covenant with us. Now, we read as, you know, the old King James, you know, would use the word because of its English background and influence. You know, it was first translated in England, and so, the old English language, that's why you see all the, you know, the English, old English language in the King James Bible. You know, it's because that's just the way, you know, they talked in those days. We don't talk that way, but it had a big influence on the way they translated things, and you know, the King James, for the most part, did a pretty fabulous job of translating the Bible. You just kind of got to understand there's some archaic language in there that, you know, you may not know. I remember when I first was reading through the Bible after I got saved, I came across in Corinthians the word what? W-O-T, W-O-T. Well, you know where I came from, we didn't use that word what. I wot not what that meant. And I found out later what it meant. You know, I mean, I've got a brain. There's a cross-reference. You can look it up. You don't have to be dumb. You can use your brain, right? And so anyway, but you know, what I was going to say was the King James uses the word Old Testament, New Testament. And the church thinks in those lines, of Testament, Old Testament, New Testament. And there's nothing wrong with that, except that in our day, that's kind of lost the power that it had in their day. It meant more in their day. We use the word covenant today. So when the Bible says Old Covenant, New Covenant, then that means we have a covenant. All right, and a covenant. So I want to talk about being covenant-minded today, and I hope you get something out of this. Let's go to Psalm 74. And David, you know David, let me just, before we read, I'm sorry, but before we read that, let me just kind of just say this about David. You know David, he faced a lot of things in his life when you read about his story, you know, of his life and so forth. I mean, attacks by, you know, the king and all his men. You know, when Saul turned on him for no reason at all, and then the Philistines were always trying to kill him. You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't like he had this life of leisure, you know. Matter of fact, he wanted to build God the temple, you know, the tabernacle, and God told him, he said, no, you're not going to do it. I'm going to let your son do it. You've been a bloody man. I mean, you've been in a lot of wars and so forth, and so, you know, let's just let your son do this. And so, you know, so he understood a little bit about danger. Do you understand in those days, you know, people don't you know, people are so conditioned differently today than what they were in those days. But in those days, they were ruthless. I mean, you know, they come in and burn a city down and kill everybody. Aren't you glad it's changed? Yeah. Jesus said, go into the city and heal everybody. Hallelujah. Thank God. But, you know, and that there, things were just different. And there's reasons behind that. You know, I don't have time to go into that, but there are reasons why some of that stuff took place, you know, and so forth. Because, well, one thing, these people's hearts couldn't change, you know, and God would just say, go and wipe the whole city out, because if you don't, they're going to infect you with their perversion. And so that would be the reason. Now, today, we have a different way. We have a way, it's called get them born again. Amen. Yeah. Amen. So it's a different thing altogether. But I'm just saying that because when I read this verse, I want you to understand this man that's saying this, you know, he had issues that he faced that were life-threatening. And he said in Psalm 74:20, he's talking to God, he said, have respect unto the covenant, for the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty. In other words, David's simply saying by this, he's simply saying that, look, God, I mean, there's dark places in the earth and there's some cruel things going on, and I'm asking you to have respect to your covenant. In other words, keep me in the midst of all of this by the covenant. See, that old covenant provided protection. It provided provision. Hallelujah. And so David's calling on God to keep that covenant. And let me just say this to you. if we have, and this is the old covenant, if the old covenant did that, how much more does the new covenant provide, protect? And you know, we're kind of in that place today. You know, you can get on an airplane, there might be somebody in there who's going to blow it up. I mean, every time I get on one, I mean, I take it over by faith. You know, we used to years ago when we were, you know, before all this stuff started going on in our land, we'd say, "I'm hijacking this plane in Jesus' name." We stopped saying that because if somebody heard that word, you could end up in jail. So it's like, don't say that again, you know. But we would say, "Hey, I'm hijacking this plane in Jesus' name. I mean, I'm taking it over, hallelujah." And because you don't know who's on there, right? And honestly, to tell you the truth, nowadays you don't know who's flying it. You know, I've got my feelings about. They run us through all this detection stuff. You know, you go through the metal detectors and take your shoes off, and they search your bags, and you know, tag on your underwear and everything else, and you know, to make sure you're okay. But then we get on there and we don't get to check them out. Come on. I'm thinking, let me check the pilot out. Let me smell his breath. Let me see his license. Let me see. You know, let me give him a field sobriety test. Well, because, you know, listen, I mean, you don't know. That's why you better know God. Are you with me now? I mean, you're driving down the highway, you know, 70 miles an hour. You don't know what the person next to you is going to do. You don't know what the person's coming this way is going to do. You better know God. You know what I'm saying? You better believe for protection. Hallelujah. There's a covenant of protection and stuff. And, of course, you don't. That's what David's saying. He's saying, you know, the dark places of this earth, it's cruel, man. And, you know, the King James says cruel, full of habitations of cruelty are violence. There's a lot of violence going on. And thank God we got a covenant.
Amen.
We don't have to just be subject to go out there and get knocked off by some drunk driver. There's no drunk driver taking me out.
Right.
Now, that sounds arrogant to people, but it isn't because of me. It's because of my covenant.
Amen.
I'm going to stand on my covenant.
Amen.
And I'm not going to do it in fear. I'm not going to pray in fear. I'm just going to say, thank God we're going to the other side. Amen. Well, because I have a covenant. Well, yeah, but what if it's your time to go? Well, you listen, let me tell you something about that. You know what? When it's my time to go, it's not going to happen that way. I'll just quit. Well, how would you die? Well, stop breathing. That'll do it. You do that long enough and you'll probably expire. Amen. You got God. You know, people talk about God takes people and stuff like that. Well, you know, let me just say this. You know, the only thing that the Bible, the only incidents in the Bible of God taking people was He took them by a whirlwind up to heaven. And then you'll find in Psalm says He takes their breath away. Now that literally means He removes their spirit. In other words, He just takes you, the inner man, home to heaven. He doesn't kill you with a disease. And you know what I'm saying? He doesn't like kill you and then say, well, okay, you're coming with me now. Okay. There's some funny ideas in the body of Christ. But see, we have to believe this. Amen? See, this covenant, the new covenant that we have, you know, and we could get into all this, but we're not going to this morning. I'm just wanting to put this into you, be covenant-minded. But this new covenant that we have, it's so strong that the Hebrew says it raised Jesus from the dead. That's strong stuff. I'm thinking, if it'll raise Him from the dead, it'll raise anything I got in my life that died up again. Right? But how many know you got to believe it? See, God said, put me in remembrance. Didn't He? All right? In Corinthians, you know, when we take communion, if you ever read the scriptures that Paul penned on that in Corinthians 11, he said, Jesus said this, do this in remembrance of me. Well, it isn't like we're going to forget about Jesus. You know, we come to church and say, oh, hey, we need to remind you we're coming to church because of Jesus. I mean, most of you are not likely to forget about Jesus. So what does that mean? Well, remembrance, it's a covenant term. If you understand covenant, you understand that's a covenant term. That means you're remembering the covenant that you have with Him. Every time we take communion, it's a reminder we're in covenant with God Almighty. We got to remind ourselves. And Paul said, you do show or proclaim the Lord's death till He come. What's that mean? That means that we're proclaiming the Lord's death over our life, that it affected our life. When He died He and shed His blood, He ratified the new covenant on our behalf, and it's affected my life. Hallelujah. I'm healthier than I used to be. I'm richer than I used to be. I have more peace than I used to have. I have soundness in my mind, my spirit, and my body that I didn't have. I'll soon be 60 years old and I'm healthier than I was when I was 18. I know you didn't. I know you thought I was 36. I'm sorry for telling you that. But anyway, you understand what I'm talking about. What's it got to do with it? It had anything to do with me. It has something to do with just believing the covenant, you know, accepting what the Lord said and standing on it. See, you know, and some of these things you have to fight for, you have to stand for. They don't just, you know, bam, overnight, you know. You got to stand for them. You got to, well, how do you do that? Well, you got to put the word in you. You got to believe it. You keep putting that in you. You know, His word's life. You know, I heard a story just recently about a lady. She's was an alcoholic and a prostitute. You know, not great qualifications, but, you know, and they said, you know, if you try to witness to her, she'd cuss you out. She started feeling bad in her body and started having symptoms and went to the doctor, and the doctor checked her out and said, well, you got cancer all over your body. You got about 10 days to live. Put her in the hospital, and a believer went in there to you know, try to witness to her and lead her to the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, you know, now that she knows she's going to die, maybe she's a little softer. It's a true story. Maybe she's a little softer and she'll listen instead of cuss you out when you try to witness to her. So they went in to witness to her and led her to the Lord Jesus Christ, then read to her Mark 11:24. First time she'd probably ever heard it in her life, where Jesus said, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, you shall have them. They read that to her and said, well, let her know, we could pray for your healing. And she thought, well, that makes sense to me. God said, that makes sense to me. Accepted it. You know what? She got totally healed. But you could go into a Christian, been a Christian for 40 years, and they'll say, well, you know, we'll see. And wonder why it doesn't work. Well, why is God better to that sinner girl that just got saved, you know, than He is to me? Well, He's not. He's good to all. I said He's good to all. But you have to stand for the covenant. You have to be covenant minded. You got to think about it. You know, you see, David's thinking about this, isn't he? I mean, he's thinking about it. He's not, you know, now he was now him in himself, you know, he had become a mighty man of war. I mean, he wasn't to be messed with. You know, I mean, when Absalom, you know, his son, you know, tried to overthrow him. And, you know, in 2 Samuel, where Absalom, his own son, tried to take the kingship away from him, you know, and Absalom had a bunch of men with him, you know, and they asked counsel, what should we do? And they're like, you know, one guy said, well, let's go down there and let's overtake him, you know, right now. And another guy gives counsel, I don't think I'd do that. Your father's a mighty man of war. I believe I'd try to catch him in secret before I'd do that. Well, because David was a mighty man of war. But so he's not dependent on him being a mighty man of war. He realizes even mighty men of war like Goliath get killed. Hallelujah. And so David's dependent on the covenant. Glory. In other words, he's covenant minded. He's thinking about the fact I've got a covenant with God, and His covenant will reach in even into the dark places of the earth, and it'll deliver me. Amen. You know, the Bible talks about the Israelites when they were in Egypt. It says that God heard their groaning and He remembered their covenant. He remembered His covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And He had respect unto them, the King James says. That means He looked their way. He delivered them. Well, I thought about that years. I thought, well, you know, God doesn't want to hear our groaning under this new covenant. He wants to hear our faith. I mean, you know, they didn't know anything in the old covenant. You just try to find the word faith in the old covenant. You will not find it very much. You'll find it in Deuteronomy, where God said they had no faith. But you don't find faith very much. Why? Because they weren't born again. They didn't have faith like we have faith. Jesus gave us faith. Hallelujah. And so you understand that you get this new covenant, you know, it's a little different. God said in the old covenant, He just basically told him, said, if you obey me, I'll keep the... He didn't even say the devil, because they didn't have revelation about him either. They just thought everything happened, God did it. And so But God just basically said, you, basically, this is the way we would say it today, you obey me, I'll keep the devil off of you. But have you know, in this new covenant, we need to obey and we need to take, and when we obey, we have authority over the devil ourselves. In other words, God's, you know, when Jesus, he came and he said, all power has been given unto me in heaven and earth, then he said, go ye therefore. Well, why would we go if it wasn't given to us? If he has it and we don't, why should we go? But he's saying, go on my behalf, I'm giving it to you, take the authority, and you do something about it. Amen. So that's a totally different thing, isn't it, than the old covenant. So you can't just look at the old covenant and say, well, you know, Job, he had his trial, he had his thing, he had his deal. Yeah, he did, but it's a little different deal because we're new covenant people, we're the sons of God, we have authority, and the devil just can't come in and run over us like he did Job. Hallelujah. Well, yeah, but doesn't the Bible say that you know, Job's friends, they came over and they comforted him for all the evil that the Lord brought upon him? Yeah, it does, but it didn't say God said it. It said they said that. That's what they said. They thought it was God. It wasn't God. Read your Bible. It says that Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and smote Job, not God. Now, under this new covenant, see, if Job had been a new covenant believer, he could have rebuked him, stood his ground, stood in faith, and ran him off. Doesn't mean he wouldn't have had an attack, but he could have stopped the attack. Hallelujah. Now, let's go over to Genesis, the first book of the Bible, Genesis 17. And I want to look at some scripture this morning. We're just going to put into you about being covenant-minded, where we change our thinking, we start thinking covenant, that we have a covenant with God. And, you know, life, the devil, things can't just run over us like they used to. We can stand up against it. We've got some divine help. Genesis chapter 17. This scripture helped me a lot in my beginning days back in the early 80s. This scripture helped me a lot when I got a hold of it. In Genesis 17, verse 1, it says, and when Abraham was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram, and he said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me, and be thou perfect, or be a sincere. And verse 2, and I will make my covenant between me and you and multiply you exceedingly. Now, I want you to specifically notice, he said, I'm going to make a covenant between me and you. A covenant between me and you. Now, you know, when something's between two people, you have to go through it to get to the other person. You know, if there was a curtain here between me and you and I'm behind the curtain, I got to go through the curtain to get to you. That's the only access to you. So what God was telling Abraham, he said, I'm going to put something between me and I'm going to put something between you. For me to get to you, I'll have to come through this. And for you to get to me, you'll have to come through that. Now, I hope you're seeing what I saw way back in the early 80s. I began to see something. Now, wait a minute, that answers a lot of questions. Have you ever heard people say, well, if God, you know, is real, then why does he allow this? Or why does he allow that? Or why are there hungry people over here? Or why are there hungry people over here? Why does this calamity happen? Why does that happen? Well, you could give a lot of multiple answers to that, and all of them would have truth and be right. But one of the main things we need to understand is not everybody's in covenant with God and he doesn't have access to him like he does you. And they don't have access to him. I'll prove that to you a little bit later out of the New Testament if we have time this morning. But now here again, we get the people that are hyper, let me say it the right way, hyper-sovereignty people that say God does whatever he wants to do. Well, you need to read those verses again because that doesn't say God does whatever he wants to do. It says the Lord sits in the heavens and he's done what he pleased. That's a totally different thing. It's not saying that every day he wakes up and just does what he pleases. It says he's already done what he pleased, which he set certain things in laws in motion, and he's not going to change them or cross them. And one of the things he did was he gave us authority. All right, so we have, you know what I'm saying? We have God. Why didn't even God bother to make a covenant with Abraham to start with?
Why bother? If he can just come on the earth and do anything he wants to do, why mess with this man? Because you got somebody imperfect entering into this covenant. God's perfect, but Abraham's not. So why even fool with this guy? Why even mess with him? Well, there's a reason why, because God needed an access into the earth to do things. He got Abraham. If you study the Old Testament and the New Testament, you'll find out the reason why he made a covenant with Abraham was to get Jesus Christ of Nazareth into the earth to redeem us. And he had to do it the Bible tells us by death, you know, the fall came by man. By death, I think the Bible says it came by man. Resurrection came by man. In other words, a man caused the problem. It had to be a man to fix the problem. Why? Because God gave authority to the man. So he made Jesus, who is God, man. Is that right? And he came down as a man and fixed the problem. He's still God. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not taking anything away from him. He's all God, but he's all man. That's the mystery. Never been anybody like him. Never will be anybody like him except for you and I who were born again and have divine nature in us. Now, I'm not saying we're him, but you understand what I'm saying. He's given us his divine nature. Are you with me now? No, don't write me. Say, Pastor said we're all like, we're Jesus. No, I'm saying, I didn't say you're God. I simply say the divine nature has been put in you through the new birth. That's in the Bible. So my point in all that is to say this, that God, you know, he had to have an avenue to get into the earth, and that's why he made this covenant. He put this covenant between him and Abraham. And he said, if you do this, I'll do this. All right, see, we have a new covenant. And how many know if you have a covenant, there's terms to the covenant. It isn't all just one-sided. You know, God does it all. No, there's covenant. What did he say when you pray, believe that you receive, and you'll have it? Well, then that must be a term of the covenant, right? We have to believe if we're going to receive. Does that make sense to you? See, so you can't just, you know, people say, well, if God wants to heal me or God wants to do this for me, he'll do this. Well, is that what the covenant says? Well, no, it's not what it says. Come on, are you with me this morning? See, that's religion. That's not what the covenant says. You got to go find out what the covenant said. You know, if you had some rich relative that, you know, was a billionaire and they died and left you in the will, I guarantee you'd be down there Monday morning finding out what's in the will. You find out what belongs to me. What can I have? Well, I would. I'd be down there. I'd want to find out. Well, see, the same thing's true. You've been given a covenant, but you got to go find out what's in there. What's he telling me? And then you stand on it and say, no, you know, because the devil, you know, the devil will try to cast you out of your inheritance, but you got to stand and say, no, devil, you're not going to do that. Well, how long will I have to stand? Well, I like what Brother Hagin said. He said, if you're willing to stand forever, you probably won't be there very long, but if you're wishy-washy, you'll be there a long time. I added that last part. All right. Now, so how many can see that? There's a covenant between this man and God. So for God to get to us, now the same thing's true in the New Testament. We have a new covenant. For God to get to us, he's got to come through the covenant. For us to get to him, we must go through the covenant. If that wasn't so, God would be saving everybody today. And we go into the millennium today. And that'd be awesome. But he's not doing that, is he? How many know he's not healing people apart from the covenant? He's not saving people apart from the covenant. He's not blessing people apart from the covenant. Amen. It has to be a part of that. Now, let's go to Psalm 111. Let me show you something. We're talking about being covenant-minded. Covenant-minded. Having your mind change to think covenant. How many know when you get married, you enter into covenant, right? See, once Phyllis and I got married, everything that was hers is mine. Everything that's mine is hers. Are you with me now? I mean, we don't just act foolishly, but I mean, you know, if I want to go buy something, I just go buy it. If she wants to go buy something, she just goes buy something. Now, if we're spending a lot of money, of course, you know, we're going to talk about that, you know, and be in agreement. But you know what I'm saying? She doesn't have to come and say, can I buy a new dress? Boy, it's quiet in here. Maybe I need to do a little preaching on this a little bit. I don't know. But, you know, why? Because we're one. Her money's mine, mine's hers.
We don't have separate accounts. Now, I've got my, you know, my little, what we call he money. No, it's called she money, isn't it? She money. She doesn't know you have it. She ain't getting it, you know. You know, you keep it kind of hit. No. No, there's been times there's been a little mouse in my billfold. And yeah, that's fine. She can take it all out of there. Come on, work with me now. She can take it all out. Why? Because we're all one. See, anytime I see a marriage start that way, well, I've got mine, he's got his, and I'm like, you've got problems already because you're not becoming one. Amen. And so, we're one, you know. And so, if she wants something, then she just goes and buys it. Now, of course, you know, if we're going to spend a few $1,000 or something like that, then we'll talk about that. That's just respect. It's just common sense, but which isn't all that common today. But anyway, but you know, we still have it. Hallelujah. Amen. We come from the old school. We still got something called common sense. You know, it makes sense. You're not going to do that. But, you know, I mean, she doesn't have to call me, oh, I'm at Kohl's, I saw this nice top, do you mind if I buy it, please, dost thou care? Just buy the stupid thing, all right? In a couple, 3 weeks after you've worn it 7 times, I'll probably notice you got it, all right? All right. She'll come home, she got her hair cut. You didn't even notice I got my hair cut. Well, you don't notice when I get mine cut. You know, when I get my half inch taken, not even half inch, quarter inch, eighth inch, whatever it is off, you know. But you understand, see, there's a covenant agreement between us. You know what I'm saying? We can't just, you know, we can't just walk away from one another without dissolving the covenant and dividing up the stuff. So, well, you got a covenant with God. And we're not walking away from one another, by the way. All right. But I'm just trying to make a point that you understand that you have to be covenant minded. You have to think I'm in covenant with God, man. I got something going on here with God. He's let me in on that. He got the worst end of the deal, but he made the deal. At least I think he got the worst end of the deal. He seems to be happy with it, so I'm okay with it. Amen. But I want you to notice in Psalm 111 what it says. It says in verse 5, he hath given meat or food unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. Hallelujah. So it's on God's mind. Did you know he told Noah, he said, I make a covenant with you and all the earth, and I'm going to put my bow in the sky, the rainbow. And he said, when I see that, I'll remember that covenant. He said, when I cause a cloud to pass over the earth, you know, talking about raining, then you'll see my bow in the sky. And I don't know if you've ever just, even to this day, a rainbow just, it's got an awesomeness to it, doesn't it? I mean, you go out and look at it and you think, wow. Because it's a God thing. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Revelation, he has a rainbow around the throne. So he's constantly looking in covenant. He's thinking covenant. I'm in covenant with these people. Hallelujah. And so, you know, well, this covenant that he made with Israel is so strong that one day, the Israelites had been acting up again. And God told Moses, he basically said, modern English, I've had it. I'm tired of messing with them. And he told Moses, he said, I'm going to wipe them all out and I'm going to start over with you. I mean, God's got emotions just like you got emotions. He may have his in a little bit better check than we do. But he can be made angry. How many know that? You know what I'm saying? I mean, and when God's mad, oh, Lord. See, God was so mad one time at him that Moses kept after him. Finally, God said, let me alone. More modern translation is, get out of my face. Could you imagine God telling you, get out of here? Yeah. You'd be like a little whipped dog with your tail between you. But so, Moses, God was so angry with them because they made that golden calf thing. I think we talked about that Wednesday night, didn't we? You know, they threw the gold in the fire. That's what Aaron told Moses, how it got there. Threw the gold in the fire and this came out. How many can understand that Moses might have been okay, but Aaron was a few bricks shy of a load. And so he's, You know, God got so angry over that. He told Moses, he said, let me alone. He said, I'm going to wipe them all out, and I'm going to start over with you. Now, you know, the problems Moses had pastoring that church, it would have been a great time to say, help yourself. Let me stand aside and see this great work of the Lord. But Moses, he began to intercede, and he began to say, well, if you do that, then all the heathen that know you brought them out are going to say you couldn't get them in, and you brought them out here just to kill them. And he starts pleading their case. And God's still going to kill them, you know. And then finally, you know, Moses said, remember your covenant. And listen to what he said. Remember your covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now see, if you read that, you understand how Moses got God to change his mind. And the Bible says God repented, or he changed his mind about what he was going to do. So can his mind be changed? I said, can his mind be changed? Well, he was going to wipe them out. And Moses said, now remember Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. See, what did God tell him? He said, you stand aside. I'm going to wipe them all out, and I'm going to start over with you. And Moses said, now wait a minute. And Moses tried some things. He said, now Lord, you know, he tried some other things to get God to change his mind, and God's still going to wipe him out. And finally, when he says that about the covenant, see, your covenant was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's not with me. Now, I'm in on it because of them, you understand. But you didn't originate it with me. You promised to raise up the seed of Abraham, not the seed of Moses.
Amen.
God said, yeah, got me. All right, I'll let them live. I won't wipe them all out. He said, but they're going to die in this wilderness, and I'm going to take their kids in. That's a strong covenant, wouldn't you say? That you could change God's mind? Well, wasn't David covenant-minded? Pastor Chuck was talking about a couple Wednesday nights ago about how he called Goliath an uncircumcised Philistine. Well, that meant, you know, circumcision was a sign of the covenant with God in those days. I'm glad it's changed. Hallelujah. But anyway, you know, things have changed now. It's the, you know, we're circumcised in heart. Amen. And so circumcision was a sign. And so he's just simply saying, this man's not in covenant with you. This Goliath's not got a covenant with God. What are you doing letting him defy the armies of the living God? All right. Well, all right. Was Jesus covenant-minded? Well, think about it. Remember, he went into the synagogue. He was in there teaching, and there was a woman in there that was bowed over for 18 years. I mean, she couldn't straighten up. She's been like this for 18 years, coming to the synagogue for 18 years, and she's bowed over like this, and Jesus is in there teaching on the Sabbath, and he said, ought not this woman, come on, can you finish it, being a daughter of Abraham, be loosed from whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, think of it, 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? What was he saying? What's daughter of Abraham got to do with it? She's in covenant. She should have been loosed 18 years ago. She didn't know it. The ruler of the synagogue didn't know it. Church people didn't know it, but Jesus knew it. Hallelujah. He was covenant-minded. And I'm telling you, today it's the same way. There's a lot of church people don't know it, preachers don't know it, the world doesn't know it, but Jesus still knows it. Thank God some of us know it too. The devil's not keeping me bound with stuff. He's not going to do it. Now, I'm not saying I don't have to deal with things. We all do. So don't get under any condemnation if you're dealing with something today. We all do, but just know this. That's not the final word on it. You got a covenant with God. Don't take it as the final word on it. Amen? See, 1 Chronicles, we won't go there, but I'll give it to you. You can write it down if you want to. 1 Chronicles 16:15. Remember the scripture we just read said he's ever mindful. God's ever mindful of his covenant. But 1 Chronicles 16:15, talking to us, says, be always mindful of his covenant. You have your mind full of it. So you can either have a covenant-filled mind or a what James called a, help me out. Come on, some Bible scholars. No, not reprobate. There's a lot of people got that, yeah. Double. Thank you, Brother Kenny. Double-minded. You can be covenant-minded or double-minded. What's double-minded? Well, I'm just not sure. Well, yeah, I know, Pastor, he preaches that stuff. It preaches good on Sunday morning, but doesn't live Monday through Saturday. Well, it does. I live it Monday through Saturday. It's not just for Sunday. See, that's double-minded. You're not convinced. Well, how do you get convinced? Well, get into the covenant. Well, I just thought maybe if I saw something. Let me just tell you something. See, sight doesn't convince you of anything. Faith doesn't come by seeing. It comes by hearing. Is that right? Now, you want, now think about this. Think about this. Abraham was fully persuaded, not by what he saw. Right? He saw an old man in the mirror. He saw an old woman. But the Bible says he considered not what he saw. He considered what God said. You remember the story in Luke 16, where there was this rich man and there was this beggar named Lazarus, and they both died, and the rich man went into hell. And Lazarus went into Abraham's bosom. I don't have time to teach on this, but just trust me on it. In the Old Testament, before Jesus was raised from the dead, nobody went to heaven. They went to a place called Abraham's bosom because legally they were still under the dominion of the devil, because the price had not been paid. So they actually went down into the heart of the earth. But there were two sections down there, one called hell, one called Abraham's bosom. One was a place of torment, one was a place of comfort. Now, when Jesus was raised from the dead, the Bible said he led captivity captive. He went down there and got them out and took them all to heaven. That's why you hear the psalmist saying, "Open the gates, for the King of Glory's coming." He's got all these people with him. Oh, yeah. You don't believe that? There's a lot of scripture to prove this. I don't know if people argue with this, but you need to read your Bible. You read in the Bible when Saul, don't let me forget, everybody say Luke 16. You're going to remind me about Luke 16, right? Okay. But I'm just proving a point to you. It's a rabbit trail, but I want to prove it to you. See, you go back in the Old Testament, and Saul, when he was king, at near the end of his reign as king, he put all the spiritualists and those that had familiar spirits out of the land. He made them stop operating. And so he gets into real big trouble, and he's getting ready to go into battle with the Philistines, and he wants to hear from God about whether he's going to make it or not. And God won't talk to him because he's in rebellion and sin. He won't speak to him. So he finds out there's a lady that has a familiar spirit over in Endor, and he goes to her house. He disguises himself and goes to her house to ask her. So see, God won't talk to him, so he's going to see if the devil will talk to him and give him some wisdom. You talk about a goofed up guy. All right? So he goes to her house and he says, "I want you to bring up for me whoever I ask." She says, "Well, you know, Saul, he's put all the..." "No, I wouldn't do that." No, you'll be fine. Nobody will know about you. You'll be all right." So she does. And I'll tell you what, now, these people that do that, they operate by familiar spirits. You know what familiar spirit is? It's familiar with the person, knows everything about them. But this time, God let it really happen. She begins to conjure and do her thing. And Samuel comes up. And you read the scripture, this is not a familiar spirit, it's Samuel. Samuel, she says, "I see somebody coming out of the earth. He's an old man with a mantle." And Saul goes, "That's Samuel." And Samuel says, "Why are you bothering me?" Notice where he came from. He didn't come from heaven. He came from the earth. See? And what did he tell? Now you have to understand, Saul was a messed up, goofed up guy, but he still was a part in covenant with God, but he was just messed up. And he asked Samuel, said, "What's going to happen?" And Samuel said, "Tomorrow you and your sons are going to be with me. You're going to be down here." I'm just bringing it out to show you, he wasn't in heaven, he was in the heart of the earth. But he was in a place that, some of you are looking like, "I never heard anything like this in my life." Well, you know, if you study the Bible for 40 years, you find some of these things out. But just by reading it, you know, you just do. You just run into it, you know.
And so Samuel, you can check it out. It's in the last part of chapter 31 or so of Samuel. Samuel tells him, you're going to be down here with me. Well, he's not up in heaven. He's down there. He's in Abraham's bosom. Well, I said that to say this. Luke 16, Jesus talks about it. You know, I just lost like 95% of Christians in Evansville right there, that story right there. Like, I never heard anything like that in my life. Maybe we better go to another church. Well, go to a dumber one. But Jesus said, they both died, the rich man and Lazarus, they both died. And in hell, the rich man's down there and he sees, over this great gulf fixed, he sees Abraham and he sees Lazarus. Isn't that what it says? Well, is that true or not? Well, then they weren't in heaven. And he says, listen, is this guy still trying to order people around? He says, Father Abraham, he said, I'm tormented in this flame. So those that say, you know, hell, you know, you just go there and you burn up and die. Well, this guy didn't. He said, I'm down here, I'm tormented in this flame. He said, send Lazarus to get just a little water. Dip his finger in some water and cool my tongue. That ought to make an evangelist out of us. And if you're not saved, you ought to run and get saved right now before you end up there. And Abraham said, son, he said, remember, in your lifetime, you had your good things, Lazarus his evil. Now, you're tormented and he's comforted. He said, besides all that, there's a great gulf fixed between us and you. I couldn't get to you and you couldn't get to me. God's put a gulf there. He's put an expanse there. Well, we can't get to you and you can't get to us. But he was down there and he saw it. But now listen. Here's my point. I've gone through so many rabbit trails, I don't think you're getting my point. My point is, it's the word that convinces you. Now listen to what he told. Listen to what he told Abraham. He said, "Well, then, Father Abraham, if he can't come and help me, he said, have him go to my five brothers and tell them about this place, that lest they come here." And he said, they got Moses and the prophets. And he says, He said, but if one rose from the dead, they'd listen. Listen to what Abraham said. He said, if they don't believe Moses and the prophets, they won't believe if somebody rises from the dead and goes and tells them. In other words, he said, if they're not going to believe what's written, they're not going to believe it if I did let Lazarus go back and tell them. They still wouldn't believe it. Oh, something. Only God's word can persuade you. If you don't have time to find out what belongs to you, then there's really no help for you. All right, let's close. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Did you get something out of this? Need to close. Ephesians chapter 2. Let me show you this in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 2. That's why sometimes I think people think, why don't you guys leave us alone? We want to study the Word, and all, we'll do that. Well, I know that's what you'll do, but I'm just letting you know what you're missing. I hope you take time to find out what belongs to you. You know, what good is watching CNN going to do you anyway? What good is watching? I'm not saying it's wrong. I watch stuff on TV. Don't misunderstand me. What good is it going to do you to spend all your hours doing that and not finding out what belongs to you? You're going to be sorry in the end. You're going to be, I think a lot of tears in heaven is going to be looking at what I missed, what I could have had. And I spent my time, you know, watching Dancing with the Jars. I don't even know, you know, like some of the modern, I guess some of those old soap operas are selling. Is General Hospital still on? It's not on any longer. I guess they closed it down. There used to be one on, what was that one called? All My Children. Is that still on? See, nobody will admit now. He's like, God, you're not going to get me. As the world turns, we used to call it as the stomach turns. Is that still on? Ain't nobody gonna miss it. I don't know what's on now, but see, what good is that stuff going to do you? You know, you get people that got so involved in that. I mean, I remember, I don't know which one it was, but there was this couple on there, Luke and Laura. It's not Little House on the Prairie. Laura is on Little House of Prayer. You got that right.
Luke and Laura were one of those couples, and they had marriage problems, and people go to church and want prayer for Luke and Laura. Come on. How many know? Listen, honestly, I'm telling the truth. I've gone to pray for people in the hospital, and they're laying there dying, and they're watching this stuff on TV, and I'm not making this up. I mean, I've had, and they have it cranking, and sometimes I've had to tell them, you mind turning that off? I mean, there's something, listen, you're dying, you don't need Luke and Laura, you need Luke and John and Mark and Galatians and 1 Peter. That's what you need. You don't need this. You need to find out what your covenant is. Those people aren't going to help you. But a lot of people just want to say, oh man, look, they got the same thing I got. Awesome. Your Pope die of it. When I was a kid, yo, I wasn't a real kid, but younger, there used to be a show on called Marcus Welby, M.D. Now, he was a doctor. All right. I watched him. I don't know how many years he was on, but all those years, he only lost one patient. That's it. Now, if you want to watch his show, okay. Still read your Bible, all right? Are you in Ephesians chapter 2? All right, let me show you this, verse 12, Ephesians 2, 12. It says that at that time, this is talking about before you were, the church at Ephesus was born again, but I want to show you something else that will apply to us also if we don't watch it. That at that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise. Notice these covenants are covenants of promise. Right? Promise. Having no hope and without God in the world. Now I want you to notice, see, if you don't know, if you're not born again, all right, this is a description of you. You have no hope and you're without God in this world. All right, those two things. But I want to bring this out because I think it applies to us as believers. If we're strangers, what would a stranger be? You don't know. You don't know. See, if you don't know what your covenant is, then in the area you don't know, you have no hope and you're without God in that area. Does that make sense to you? See, if you don't know that healing is a provision in the covenant, you're without hope in that area. You don't have any hope. And you're without God being able to help you in that area. Now, He may be able to help you in other areas, but He wouldn't be able to help you in that area if you don't know about it. You know, how many know it's the will of God for everybody to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak with other tongues? But did you know there are some people that don't know that? Now, do they have it? No, because they're without hope. They don't have any hope in that area because they don't know. And they're without God in that area of their life. I didn't say they're without God totally, but in that area, they're without God. You know, same thing. You could just take it down the line. If you don't understand that it's God's will to do certain things for you, then you would just be without Him in that area. He would want to help you, but He couldn't help you unless you stood on the covenant. Remember, there's a covenant between us. Amen. Now let me close out. Did you get something out of this today? I'm going to ask the team to come up. Let's get a song ready before we go. But let me close out by talking about this. All right. Do you remember in the Old Testament, Jonathan had a son named Mephibosheth? How many remember that story? All right. So in case you don't know, Jonathan was Saul, King Saul's son. Well, David and Jonathan were very close. They loved one another. And they entered into covenant. And they made a covenant one day. Jonathan could see the way this was going, that David was going to be king. And he made a covenant with him that he would be kind to him when he became king, that he'd be kind to him and all his seed after him, his household after him. Because literally what normally happened is if like a king in the Old Testament, if he was removed from office, then the new king would kill all of his family. So there wasn't any revolt. See, normally the way it worked was, you know, the king, when he got old, he'd pass it on to his son. But if there were incidents like with Saul, where Saul just got removed from being king, then it's not going to his son. So now, if you don't take out all his family as the new king, then you're going to have problems with them trying to take over the kingship. You're going to have revolt. So they would just kill them all. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that we live under the new covenant? Well, this is... Now, David didn't operate that way. David was not a man like that, you know. I mean, he'd kill you, but he had to have a reason. You had to give him a good reason. Huh? Yeah, that's true. He had a reason he would, but he wouldn't just for no reason at all. And so, when Saul and Jonathan were killed in battle by the Philistines, then, you know, Mephibosheth was young at that time, and he had a nurse, someone that looked after him, like a babysitter, you know, a nanny. And she was running because they were all afraid David was going to come back and kill them all, you know. And she was running, and she tripped and fell, and when she did, you know, Mephibosheth got hurt in his feet, and he became lame. He became crippled. It was something we could have fixed today, but in those days, they couldn't fix it, see. And so he's crippled, all right. And now, many, many years have passed. He's grown up, you know, and he, you know, he's living, you know, David doesn't even know he's alive. And David's on his throne one day, and he says, he asked his servants, he says, isn't there anybody left of the house of Saul that I could show kindness to, the kindness of God to, that I could be good to? You know, why was he saying this? Because he made a covenant with Jonathan to be good to his seed. And finally, one guy says to him, he says, well, Jonathan has a son that's left. His name's Mephibosheth. He's lame in his feet. He lives in Lodibar. Now, I've done some study about Lodibar. Lodibar was a low place. It was the dregs of the earth. So what I'm showing you is Mephibosheth is living in poverty. He thinks if David ever finds him, he'll kill him. He has no money. He's broke, you know. I mean, he owns some land, but, you know, he's just living in the low estates is what I'm trying to tell you. And when David hears about that, he says, go get him. Well, Mephibosheth doesn't know why he's coming after him. He just knows that the king's coming after him. He probably thinks this is my last day on earth. And so when he gets there, when he brings him into the castle, you know, David's in there. And, you know, he brings him in. His servants bring Mephibosheth in. Mephibosheth falls to the floor like, this is it, man. And he starts, you know, doing obedience to David and says, you know, why is the king looking on such a dead dog like me? And David's like, stand up, Mephibosheth. You're going to eat at my house from now on. You're going to eat at my table. Now, he's been living in Lodibar. He could have been living in the king's palace the whole time. The only reason he wasn't is because he didn't know there was a covenant between him, between David's father and him. And David wouldn't do anything but good to him. That's it, man. He just didn't know it. See, God wants to do good things to us, but you got to know it. Come on, did you get something today? I got to stop, but I just the scripture just keeps coming to me. Acts talks about this. It says, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. I thought, you know, the more you get the covenant in you, the more it prevails in your life and starts taking over things. It'll kick this out. Hallelujah. It just starts growing. But you can't, you got to be, listen, I hope you understand, you can't be lazy with it. You got to be diligent to feed on it every day. Put it in your heart and believe it. It'll start kicking things out. Hallelujah and amen. Let's all stand up. Thank God. Thank God for His Word.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.